No surprise, of course, very important to remember that this line, which on the surface, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, it's about a lot more than being sad and finding comfort. And so that's sort of our jumping off place. There's always deeper layers, deeper layers, deeper layers. And the other thing I wanted to sort of toss in here is that when I am speaking, when I'm offering a sermon, which I didn't count, it would be fun to count how many I've done now in 11 years or so, but what I consider myself to be doing is testifying. It's kind of giving a testimony to my understanding of life based on my own life experience. And I think that testifying, each one of us, it's actually one of the most important things that we do as human beings, especially as we get older. We have accumulated a lifetime of experience and wisdom. It's the gold of our lives, our stories. And the greatest, one of the greatest gifts that we can give to humanity is to share our stories, right? How much do you love stories? Isn't a great story one of the most wonderful things? Well, every single one of us has a great story. Every one of us has a lot of great stories. I remember when I took a writing class my last semester in college. So I was, 21 or 20 years old. It was a nonfiction writing class. And I remember thinking, I have nothing to write about. Nothing has happened to me. I was kind of wrong. But it's one of the things that's absolutely true about all of us in life is that we are filled with our own greatest blessings, which is the story of our lives. And testifying, sharing our stories, is one of the most important pieces that draws us together as human beings. And I would even go further and say, and allows us to survive a difficult life, because that's ultimately what we are facing a lot of days, is a difficult life, and a beautiful one too. So in part, this talking about this line is a testimony. I'm testifying. At some point in my life, I realized that the tears that I cry, are much, much more than an expression of sorrow. There was a time when I lived in northern Vermont in a town called Charlotte, when on Sunday mornings I would go to the Charlotte Congregational Church and sit up in the balcony. I loved that point of view. And every week, listening to Pastor Will deliver a sermon, many weeks I found myself in tears. And I realized in trying to figure this out that the tears were accessing, they were showing me some kind of truth. There was something going on inside of me at that time in my life that may very well have remained dormant if I hadn't been sitting there on Sunday mornings listening and thinking and then processing that with Pastor Will during the week. Eventually, what I realized was that my tears were an indication that I was being drawn into some kind of pastoral service for the world. Huge surprise to me. At that point, I had been a newspaper editor, a photographer, I'd done all these creative things. But there was something deeper going on, and I realize now, especially looking back on it, the tears were a very important indication of where I was moving in my life. And so the quest began. I began to kind of investigate that. And it led me through chaplaincy and into ministry and into the end of life work that I do. And I can see that it began with sitting in that pew and being quiet and listening. And also paying attention to the message that the tears were bringing. Tears have long occupied a sacred place within the spiritual traditions of humanity. The Desert Fathers spoke of the gift of tears as a kind of grace rather than a weakness. The medieval mystics, some of them described weeping as the soul awakening to the presence of God. And Jesus, hearing that his best friend Lazarus had died, wept. and it is the shortest line in the New Testament in the Gospel of John. Jesus wept, period. In my lifetime, I have cried tears of joy as an officiant for people that I barely even knew. Standing and officiating a wedding somehow brings absolute tears of joy, and in many cases for people I'd only met recently. I have cried tears of relief at getting good news about someone that I was worried about. Tears of awe at the things like the massive landscape of Alaska. I've talked about this here. Landscapes in general, the big, big, big ones that we get to go to, have brought tears to my eyes. Just being on a tiny little airplane, flying from Fairbanks, Alaska, up into the Arctic Circle, over the Yukon, just sobbing at the immense beauty of it all. Tears of absolute exhaustion, tears, of course, of love. I cry every time my kids leave. Not if they're just going, you know, down to Manchester or something, but I cry when my kids leave, I cry. Sometimes I've cried, you know, I miss the days when you could witness an airport reunion. You know, airports are set up now so that you can't really go greet. Remember when you could be right there and you just like, not only the reunions, but the goodbyes too. There's so much emotion happening in an airport, but I miss those days when you could see the reunions. Ah, so beautiful. And I am so sensitive, I would say, tuned into the sorrow of the world, that honestly, I very often cannot pass a homeless person without really having to hold back tears, or anyone who seems to look like they need some help. Animals that are lost and wandering. The first thought is it possible? Can I help? Is there something that I can do? So another way to express this line might be, blessed are those who have the courage to face reality with an open heart. Mourning. Blessed are those who have the courage to face reality with an open heart. I cry in the face of beauty. I cry in the face of love, injustice, you name it. And I do not consider it a weakness. Unfortunately, I think in our culture, many of us are conditioned to hold it in, to hold it back. Tears are a weakness. We apologize very often when we're crying. Tears are telling us something really, really important. And I am willing to allow myself to feel the pain of this world because I believe it allows me to live in solidarity with humanity, and I wouldn't want it any other way. It has what has allowed me, honestly, to become who I am in service to the world. Blessed are those who mourn. The pain in our lives, and I talk about this a lot, always has the potential to become the doorway to a larger, wiser way of living. One of the many ways that I mourn in my life is when I am looking back at the person who I was in the past. Seeing the ways that I could have been a better person, maybe could have shown up more, said I'm sorry sooner, could have made better choices, been less judgmental, more respectful, all of the things. I mourn the opportunities that I had to be a better person, and sometimes I mourn all the time that I wasted. I am comforted in knowing that in looking at myself honestly, allowing that mourning to take place, being truthful with myself, looking honestly at who I was in the past, I have the opportunity to do better today. That's comforting to me. I'm not going to pretend those things didn't happen. I'm not going to pretend I didn't make poor choices. I'm not going to pretend any of it. I am comforted today in knowing that in having that form of mourning, I have the opportunity to do better today. I think the word comfort in this line is referring to something much more than the feeling of being cared for. I think what it might mean is that when we allow ourselves to be broken open by life and we choose to remain present and not give up, then we develop a heart that has not lost its capacity to feel reality as it truly is. I think it's really important. We develop a heart that has not lost its capacity to feel reality as it truly is. The blessing is that we grow in love and we grow in compassion and in depth and in empathy. Blessed are those who refuse to become numb to the sorrows of the world. And of course, I was thinking too about the concept, the idea of mourning, because our time together is coming to a close. This makes me feel sad. 7 months seem to go by in an absolute flash, as many of you know. Next Sunday, I won't be here. We're going to get our puppy next Sunday. That's not why I'm not here next Sunday, but it all fell together pretty well. And then the Sunday after here is my last Sunday here at this pulpit. When we began our time together, I would say that most of us took what I would call a worthy risk. And I think these are really good things to take in life, a worthy risk. I had this much experience with Unitarian Universalists, and you were looking for someone who did. Right? Didn't feel like a good fit, really. But somehow it really has worked out. The divine is with us in this story. At the beginning of my time here, I said that one of my goals was to get things with all of us to a place where you could hire the very best possible minister that you could find. And I believe you have done it. The goal has been achieved, or is in process. It is very important in this moment that we recognize how much has been accomplished in this time. A lot has happened, a lot of really wonderful things. What I noticed when I got here 7 months ago was that this congregation was, many were in mourning collectively. You could feel it here. And it was in most part because of the challenges, big challenges of the last several years. And individually, there were a number of people who were and are dealing with very difficult life situations. And when we come together collectively in a group like this, that's the nature of it. It just is. We're facing things like death and illness and the big life transitions. And we feel them. We feel it. Even though it might be happening on a personal basis, we feel the reverberations of that throughout the community. So we've come a long way. And it's really beautiful to remember that. You are ready to move into your next stages of where this is headed. When we stop and think about it and we're honest with ourselves, what we know that something or someone is always leaving in life. It's happening all the time, the changes, the transitions. And I believe that it is an important goal of being a human being to learn how to let go with grace and gratitude. Gratitude for what was and all that it taught us, and grace to accept and to take another step forward into the future. Trusting all along that larger forces are guiding us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Every leaving in life makes room for something arriving. If you've lived long enough, you have experienced this. It really is true. Capital T. So I would say blessed are all of us who have been part of this little 7-month experiment. Blessed are all who have opened their hands and their hearts during this time, even perhaps while mourning what was lost. And blessed are all of us who have now lived through enough in our lives that I believe we have stored up ample courage to live through whatever reality will bring with an open heart.